every single one, including Acts, which is just the second part of Luke, Jesus' last words before he left this world to go into heaven was that we would share the good news with other people. As Linwood pointed out, this Wednesday we're re-studying, going back to our Wednesday night worship, our Wednesday night study on the great ends of the church. And the first great end of those six great ends is the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind. This commandment was Jesus' final command prior to his ascension. Every single gospel records Jesus' command to spread the good news to everyone. And spreading the gospel is part of the reason for the church's existence. As Catherine Gonzalez says, the cause of the church is God's desired future. It is not our past that creates the church, but God's future. Gonzalez is the author of this book, which is the Proclamation of the Gospel for the Salvation of Humankind. It's the first in a series of six on the great ends of the church. And I'm going to use it quite frequently this morning, and I commend it to you for further study. It's an easy read. It's a great little book. We know from Scripture that God's desired future is for everyone to come to the knowledge of who Jesus is, of who God is. And God has chosen and called us to make that happen. So what is a proclamation? A proclamation is a public statement. Gonzalez says, the church exists to make something public. That's why we're here, to make something public. Though each of us have a personal faith, the gospel itself is designed to be public. The gospel is a fact, which is for all people, not just us. Proclamation, of course, carries a risk. But there's always been risk in proclaiming the gospel. It's never been a safe thing to do. And we certainly don't carry as much risk as many others before us have, or even others who are in different places around the world. And yet we have often failed in our mandate given by Jesus to proclaim the gospel. Our own Book of Order states that the church is called to undertake this mission even at the risk of losing its life, trusting in God alone as the author and giver of life, sharing the gospel, and doing those deeds in the world that point beyond themselves to a new reality in Christ. There's a difference between advertising a church and proclaiming the gospel. Certainly, inviting the people to church is important, and I would love to see us have three times the number of people that we do now. But inviting people to church is not proclamation. Telling people how the church can benefit them is important, but it is not proclamation of the gospel. Even sharing what our own relationship with Jesus is like is not proclamation, although this and many of those other things can be precursors to proclamation. Proclamation of the gospel is telling who God is and what God has done for the world. Telling who God is and what God has done for the world. And proclamation is vital. This is how our Book of Order summarizes what we are to proclaim. Somewhere over here is our Book of Order, which goes exactly with Scripture and exactly with what Jesus commands. This first part gives a basic outline of the entire Bible, which is God's story. And this is what we are to tell. We are to tell God's story. The mission of the church is given by God, and God's activity in the world as told in the Bible and understood by faith, that God created the heavens and the earth and made human beings in God's image, charging them to care for all that lives. God made men and women to live in community, responding to their Creator with grateful obedience. And even when the human race broke community with its Maker and with one another, God did not forsake it, but out of grace chose one family for the sake of all to be pilgrims of promise, God's own Israel. God liberated the people of Israel from oppression. God covenanted with Israel to be their God and they to be God's people, that they might do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. God confronted Israel with responsibilities of this covenant, judging the people for their unfaithfulness while sustaining them by divine grace. God was incarnate in Jesus Christ to announce the good news to the poor, proclaim release for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, let the broken victims go free, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. In his life and death for others, God's redeeming love for all people was made visible. And in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is assurance of God's victory over sin, death, and the promise of God's continuing presence in the world. God's redeeming and reconciling activity in the world continues through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, who confronts individuals and societies with Christ's lordship and life and calls them to repentance and obedience to God's will. How well do you know God's story? You can't proclaim something that you don't know. You must be familiar with God's story. Reading and knowing it for ourselves is important. It's the story, the same story that I just summarized, that summarized in our Book of Order, is the story, same story we recount every time we pray the prayer of great thanksgiving before we have communion, just like we'll be doing in a few minutes. Reminding ourselves of God's story gives us cause for celebration and praise, and it helps us to remember it so that we can share it with other people. We live in an increasingly secular and pluralistic society, and you might be amazed at how many people know little to nothing of God's story. We can't take it for granted anymore that people know what we're talking about. The proclamation of God's story includes telling about the law as well as what we consider gospel. Gonzalez explains it this way in her book. God teaches us what is good and what truly leads to a good life, not only for individuals but for society. In fact, it's not possible for an individual to have a good life, a life of satisfying relationships, work, and leisure, if the society does not have such a life. These directions for a good life are what the Bible calls law. The law is a part of the gracious action of God to teach people so that they can live happily together. Second, God redeems us. The word about redemption is what we call the gospel. Our proclamation needs to take both of these elements into account. In both cases, we are witnesses to what God has done. The people of God are to witness to the law not to scare people into repentance so that individually they can earn salvation after they die, but to witness to the world what the world needs and what needs to be done in order to have a good society, a well-functioning society that leads to a good life for all of its members. God's people have a witness to make the world, to make to the world about what is necessary for such a society. It's God's world, created to be good and to work well. That is the witness that must be made in the public arena, because this is where it is to be enacted. That God has a good plan, not for us as individuals, but for the whole world. You've perhaps heard it said before that the church exists for the benefit of its non-members. Gonzalez puts it this way, that we proclaim for those who are not yet part of the faith community. The church nurtures those who are already part of its life, which is our second great end, the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. But the church proclaims to those who are not part of its life. On Monday night, we had our Celebrate Recovery celebration here, and we were joking kind of about the phrase, well, I'm just saying. You know, you say something that you want somebody to hear and take that advice, but you just kind of put it out there. But this is what proclamation is. It's just saying. Putting the truth out there and letting the Holy Spirit do with it whatever the Holy Spirit desires, and letting people do with it whatever they desire, because it's the Holy Spirit who applies the truth to the hearts of people. We don't have to worry about converting people, because that's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is proclamation, and we must be faithful in that proclamation. Our Book of Order also not only tells us what the story is, but how we are to proclaim it. It says it like this, that the church is called to be a sign in and for the world of the new reality, what God has made available to people in Jesus Christ. That in our life together, we are to witness to that other kingdom. That's our last great end. The exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. The new reality revealed in Jesus Christ is the new humanity, a new creation, a new beginning for human life in the world. We let people know that sin is forgiven, reconciliation is accomplished, and the dividing walls of hostility are torn down. We are to tell it and we are to live it out. The church is the body of Christ, both in its corporate lives and in the lives of its individual members, and it's called to give shape and substance to the truth. The church is called to tell the good news of salvation by the grace of God through the faith of Jesus Christ as the only Savior and Lord, proclaiming in word and sacrament that a new age has dawned, that God, who creates life, frees those in bondage, forgives sins, reconciles brokenness, makes all things new, and is still at work in the world. The church is called to present the claims of Jesus Christ, leading people to repentance, acceptance of him as Savior and Lord, and new life as his disciples. The church is called to be Christ's faithful evangelist, going into the world, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that he's commanded. That's Matthew's Great Commission. Demonstrating the love of its members for one another by the quality of its common life in the new reality in Christ, sharing in worship, fellowship, nurture, preaching, practicing a deepened life of prayer and service under the Holy Spirit's guidance, and participating in God's activity in the world through its life for others by healing and reconciling and binding up wounds, ministering to the needs of the poor, sick, lonely, and powerless, engaging in the struggle to free people from sin, fear, oppression, hunger, and injustice, giving itself and its substance to the service for those who suffer, and sharing with Christ in the establishing of his just, peaceable, and loving rule in the world. That's what we are called to do and to live. You've heard it frequently said, a quotation attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, that preach the gospel at all times and use words when necessary. And at some point, words are necessary. They're always necessary at some point. The proclamation is the words part. Again, our Book of Order states that our life together ought to be a witness to the gospel. But we also have, as what the Apostle Peter writes, that we need to be ready always to give an answer to anyone concerning the hope that is in us. We need to be able to proclaim, and again, to let people know that this is not just good news for us, but it's good news for the whole world. The gospel doesn't change. The story that God has laid out never changes. It's the same story it always has been and always will be. Yet how we proclaim it changes somewhat according to our cultural context. You've heard me say, talk about that I've been part of an ecumenical group this year that's written a confession on the church, and which our session is currently studying. And this confession is about the church and its relationship to the surrounding culture. We are to speak within and to the culture without being overcome and watered down by that culture. The danger that our group addressed as we wrote the confession, and that is also mentioned in this book, is that when the gospel is made compatible with what the wider culture already believes, then we're not telling them anything new. The church ends up being merely just another social club or another therapeutic group. As we proclaim, we must always remember to keep the good news both good and news. The first believer simply proclaimed that Jesus is Lord. It is a true statement that Jesus is Lord, Lord of all, the only Lord, whether or not one believes it. Gonzalez reminds us that we are capable of only creating idols, that we cannot create God, and that if we worship the true God, it's not because we've elevated God to this position, but because we've encountered the one who already has the rightful claim to our lives. If we assume that the God we worship is not the only true God, or that the God we worship did not create all people, then we have compromised the faith that we proclaim at its very heart. We also would have absolutely no reason to proclaim anything. While it may seem indeed an arrogant statement that there is only one true God, it doesn't make that statement any less true. It is absolute truth claims that lead to persecution, but it is a risk that we must be willing to undertake. It doesn't mean, however, that we are required to persecute others. That would be contrary to the Jesus way, although we know that it's happened in the past in church history, and we know that it continues to happen today. We've seen it happen in our own country, our own society. But as the scriptures say, the truth must always be proclaimed in love. Speaking truth in love requires humility, not arrogance, on the part of the one who is proclaiming. Proclaiming is not simply reporting what we've read, but it's proclaiming what we know to be true because we've experienced that reality in our lives. Once again, from Gonzalez, ultimately the witness of the church is that we are those whom God has redeemed through the work of Christ, and therefore our lives have been transformed. We are inviting others to participate in such transformation. Still, the focus is not on who we are, or even on whom we have become. It is who God is, and what God has done, and what God is doing. To present the gospel as simply an optional lifestyle is not proclamation. The gospel must be proclaimed as good news for the whole world at large. Now, certainly, if you don't believe the gospel, if you don't believe that the story of God is truly good news, and if you don't believe that it's God's intended desire for the world, then by all means, do not proclaim it. But if you know that it's true, then don't withhold it. To do so is direct obedience to Jesus' last command before he ascended into heaven. Yes, it is risky to proclaim, but others have risked themselves so that we could know the truth. If somebody hadn't proclaimed, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't know what we know if somebody hadn't taken that risk. May we be willing to risk all for the sake of the gospel and Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Jesus, as you went up into heaven, you gave us a command to preach the gospel to all creation, to share your good news of what you had done to bring us in relationship with you and each other, to fix this broken, hurting world that so desperately needs fixing. And you've told us to share that answer, that good news, with others. Lord, we live in a society where we know that people don't know and may not want to hear or think they know. And yet, we know. Help us to be bold to share your good news with others so that this world may be as you desire it to be. In your name we pray. Amen.